please, I'd like you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 11. Acts in chapter number 11. I want to begin reading in verse number 19. The Lord will help us this evening. It's good to be back with you all. And I guess I need to apologize. My wife could not come with the newest baby this evening. She's sick. She's been, literally since we've had Joanna here in November, somebody in my house has been sick the whole time. So pray for us that we would get over whatever we, has been in our house. But pray for Tori this evening. She was not feeling good. I was not up to be able to come over here. So anyway, but I did bring Jenna with me, so y'all don't have to like me. But my daughter over here, she's very likable. Anyway. I'm thankful for another opportunity to be here. It's good to see every one of you here this evening. Initially, I thought God was taking me in another direction, and I was trying to start the study to that effect, and just wasn't getting the direction and what I needed. And I preached this message, I guess, twice before, once at my church, once on the radio. I don't always like to re-preach things unless I've got liberty to do so. I want to preach this evening, if the Lord will help me, on being a Christian on purpose.
Amen.
Being a Christian on purpose. And before I go any farther, I would like to pray and pray for me. I've got a bit of a cough, so I'm probably going to be popping cough drops as I'm up here, so I don't start coughing the message instead of preaching it. So pray for me too, please. I would appreciate your prayers. Let's go ahead and do the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our text. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, once again for an opportunity to share your word and just to share some things you've been dealing in my heart with, I guess since the end of 2023 and working into this new year. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to take these things, and myself included, to apply them to our lives, to take your word and your work seriously. Lord, we're living in the last days. Your word made that clear. And Lord, the way everything in the world seems to be shaping up, man, you're coming, it seems to be just right around the corner. And we believe in the imminent return of Christ. It could happen at any moment. Lord, I want to live this year with your help as ready as I can be for your coming. And Father, this evening I would like to challenge your flock here to be ready, to be serious, to be real. Lord, if there was ever a time to play games, and there's not been, but if there was ever a time to be playing games with you, now is not the time. Lord, I pray that you would have your will and your way done by this in this service this evening. And deal in hearts as only you can, and do what you want done in the hearts of those listening. And Father, I pray that you would receive all the honor and glory for all that's said and done. We pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Acts chapter number 11, look with me if you will in verse number 19. The Bible says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. A couple weeks before the end of 2023, I was reading through here, and this particular verse, verse 23, jumped off the page at me. And as I thought about it, I was supposed to be preaching at my church, and I knew the moment I was asked to do so, I knew this was where God wanted me to go, but I had no idea what God had in it for me. And many times I think God has a preacher go to some places, sometimes not for everybody that's listening, sometimes it's just for him. And I'm hoping others got help, but I needed this message. And I believe most people probably do, I think we're all probably about the same level. I'm not anything super spiritual by any means. If anything, I'm probably the worst, and there's probably a lot better people here than I am. But I see something here that if we're not careful, we're just going to jump right over it and not realize how important it is. Let me give you some background to this whole thing. So Jesus, obviously, he's died and buried. He's rose again. The church has been started. And you've got all these apostles going to the Jews. And then you've got this explosion, if you will, of the church in Jerusalem. But they're still pretty much only going to the Jews. And you see a little bit, I believe, a few chapters back, you see, I'm forgetting his name now, but one of them going to the Samaritans. And they were basically half Jew, half Gentile. So they're still reaching out to the Jews, if you will. And that's about all we're going to. You see Peter basically unlock the door to the Gentiles there and go into the centurion's house. And I'm forgetting his name as well. You'll have to forgive me. But that's about it. That's all the Gentiles you see that have really been reached out to. Yes. Excuse me. I'm still in the mic. I tried to cover that. But God wanted the gospel to go into all the world. We know this period is kind of a transitional period. God's kind of closing the door on Israel as a nation, not to the individuals, but as a whole, and turning to the Gentiles. And so you see that whole transitional period here. But I want you to know a few things about the city of Antioch. There's a couple different cities in the Word of God by the name of Antioch. Not all of them are the same place. This one would have been the third largest city of the Roman Empire. This was a city of great wealth, a lot of power. There was a lot of former, from what you'll read after, a lot of people say there was a lot of former government officials and stuff that would move to this city. But the city was also characterized with great wickedness.
Right. Yes,
sir. One writer even said that the wickedness in this city was second only to Corinth, which was the absolute worst city in those times, is what a lot of people will say. I don't know how true that is, but I wouldn't be surprised. It's a Gentile place without God, and it's the basically Rome's, it's one of the powerhouses of Rome. They said there was about 500,000 of people in this city at that time. It was characterized by a lot of idolatry and immorality. And yet, this is the place where believers first become known as Christians. That word Christian, that was not given probably as an honor to them. They were, it was really a term of mockery back then. But yet it was the greatest honor that could ever be given to a believer. To be called Christ-like. Little Christs. That's pretty much what they were saying. You're so much like he was. And they're trying to use it as a term of derision, yet it was the greatest honor they ever received. But as I thought on this, why is it that this Gentile church, mostly Gentile church, is the one where they're first called Christians? Why didn't that happen in Jerusalem? This point, there's a decent amount of time. There's been a lot of people saved in Jerusalem. There's a lot of people being saved in Samaria. Why is it that they weren't called Christians first? And I think there's a reason for it, but if if we're not careful, we just jump right over it. Look at verse 23 again, if you will. This is Barnabas' message to those at Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all. Notice this. That with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. Now, if you're like me, I've read over that I don't know how many times, and I've never really caught that. But I believe, after some study here and the way things seem to fall in the text, I think that message was instrumental and really the reason behind why these Antiochian Christians were the first ones to be called Christians. I think this message is partly responsible for that. And before I move on, let me just say this. God can do more with one simple message by a usable man than all the power of the flesh could do in a lifetime.
Amen.
Don't underestimate the power of one message from behind the pulpit.
Yes.
And I've been called to preach, but I'm not saying this so much in reference to myself, but I'm talking about when men of God stand behind any pulpit. Our ears ought to be open, because you never know when God's going to send that message that you need most.
That's right.
That message that may change the course of your life for the rest of your life.
Amen.
For the good, for
Amen.
The better. Don't miss church.
Yes, sir.
My pastor says this so many times, he'll compare coming to church like eating meals. And he's labored, he spent time in the study to prepare this spiritual meal, if you will, and he sets it out, but it's up to you if you'll eat. And sometimes people don't show up. And here's what happens when they don't show up. They don't grow.
That's right.
They miss something maybe God had for
Amen.
Them. And that only happens but so long that next thing you know, these people missing church are all of a sudden so separated from those who have been going consistently and eating what they're supposed to be eating.
Right.
And that they don't know what happened. Well, here's what happened. Somebody backed off from the Word of God.
Right.
Somebody wasn't so concerned about trying to find what God had for them. So I say that just to challenge you. Stay in church. Be at church when the doors are open. I mean, that's a Bible principle.
Yes, sir.
Now, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's, I believe, Hebrews chapter 10.
Amen.
We're supposed to be in church. And in our society today, that is thrown off it. Like, just come and go as you please. Do whatever you want. But the thing is, God wants you in church.
Amen.
It's not so much for the preacher. This has to do with our obedience to God.
Right.
And this has to do with that. Either we're going to be a Christian and play games, or we're going to be, a believer and play games, or we're going to be a Christian. Somebody that decides to be serious with God. Somebody that comes to church for a reason. There's a young man in our church. He's several years younger than me, but he is very sharp when it comes to just the Word of God, and he's just got a good head on his shoulders. And so he's been reading some things lately, but he was sharing with me. He says, "Man, when we come to Sunday school," he said, "we shouldn't be coming just to sit on a pew, and if we're not careful, what we do is we just run through the motions, but we're not here for a reason."
Right.
He says, "But what we should be doing is coming to church, asking God, what do you have for me? What am I supposed to do? And here to learn, here to hear the Word of God, being at church to get something from it." And it really comes to being intentional about what we're doing.
Right.
He's right.
Yes, sir.
He's right.
Yes, sir.
And most of us know that.
Amen.
Problem is, so many times I'm afraid we want to ignore obvious things because it kind of steps on our toes.
Right.
That leads me to this. How can we be a Christian on purpose? What can I do that makes me a Christian? He exhorts them that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. I want to break down this message backwards for a moment, and there's a reason why I'm doing this. I want to think about this phrase, cleave unto the Lord, first. To cleave means to stick or to abide. The Word of God talks about that a man should leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife. It deals with fellowship, closeness, staying, abiding. Our personal relationship with God is what everything in our Christian life hangs on.
Yeah. Amen.
And if we do not have a personal daily relationship with God, then we're not living the life of a Christian.
Right.
We can be saved on our way to heaven, but yet not right with God. We can be out of fellowship with God. We cannot live the Christian life as far as being a follower of Christ without a thriving relationship with Him. How do we cleave unto Him? Well, I think some of this is pretty obvious. We read the Word of God. We study the Word of God. We apply the Word of God to our lives. We pray and we spend time with Him. We know to do these things. These are some of the most basic things in the Christian life. And I think because they're so basic to us at times, we ignore the importance of them.
Right.
We can't do anything apart from our fellowship with Christ.
Right.
We're not going anywhere. So if we're going to cleave unto God, let me just put it this way. I guess here in Tennessee, we cross our fingers and say, man, those two friends, they're like that. They're tight. And with no disrespect meant here at all, but to put this down to a level where we all can grasp what I'm trying to say, each and every one of us ought to be tight with God.
Right.
Ought to be as close as I can get.
Yes, sir. Right.
It's been said and it's true. You're as close to God as you want to be.
Right.
Each and every one of us ought to be as close to God as we can, because we're not going to do anything for Him if we can't get that right. They cleaved unto the Lord because of the relationship with Him. They cleaved unto the Lord because of the Word of God. Here's the kicker on this. They responded to the truth that they heard. Down a couple of verses after Barnabas finds Saul, he brings him back. The Bible says that it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. There's a year of time here. They didn't become Christians, and I'm using that as a follower of Christ, as somebody serious about Christ, not as just somebody that's saved, because we really misuse that term today. Everybody wants to say, oh, I'm a Christian, but they're playing games with God. No, you're not. You might be a believer, but you're not a Christian. So please understand that that's how I want to use that the rest of this message, if I don't get confused. They responded to the truth. For over a year, they are being taught precept upon precept upon precept. And they're not just hearing it, they're doing it. They're applying it. And because of the consistent application of the Word of God in their life, they grow.
Right.
Let's say this, it took faithfulness. Faithfulness, try to cough in the mic again. Faithfulness to the church. Faithfulness to the Word of God. Faithfulness to the prayer closet. Faithfulness to reading the Word of God and studying it. Inconsistency is a killer for a lot of people. Man, we can, for the first 3 weeks or so of into a new year, we'll be doing okay on our goals, but all of a sudden we all fall off the deep end. And we quit. You know why? Because a lot of people struggle being consistent. A lot of people struggle being faithful. It's easy to do something as long as it's new, and as it's still somewhat fun and exciting, but when the exciting wears off and now it gets old, a lot of people just quit.
Yeah.
Simple obedience is what they had. And the more I study the Word of God, the more I realize how simple the Christian life ought to be.
Right.
We make it so complex.
Yes.
We make it so difficult at times. When all God wants is us to read and heed the Word of God. Hear and obey. And if we'll simply follow the Word of God and take the steps God has dealt with us to take, we're going to go forward and we're going to do something for God.
Amen.
But when we separate the the Word of God from our lives. We start cherry picking what we're going to live by and what we're not going to do. We have chosen to not go anywhere with God. I've said all that. That was my first point, but really, to me, just introduction, because that was not really the burden of my heart in this whole study. I see they cleave unto the Lord, but there's a phrase before this that is vitally important. He exhorted them all that with purpose of heart. They would cleave unto the Lord. We all understand we're supposed to have our fellowship with God, at least up here. It maybe has not reached into our hearts like it needs to be. But in our head, we know we're supposed to read and we're supposed to pray. That's what a Christian is supposed to do, okay?
Yes.
There's three things I want to share with you why I think these people in Antioch became the first people to be called Christian. Number one, they were purpose. Being a Christian won't happen on accident. We cannot put our spiritual lives on autopilot and yet somehow still be successful
right.
in God's economy.
Amen.
It does not work.
That's right.
It will only happen on purpose when we simply choose to get serious with God.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
This thing of the Christian life, it's not a hobby. The Christian life is not supposed to be something that we only have on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and maybe Wednesday night.
That's exactly right.
Amen.
Christianity ought to be a lifestyle.
Right.
Amen.
In our culture, that's called radical.
You're right.
That's called too far. You're going too far. No, we don't give God that much. Why? Why? Doesn't he deserve it?
Amen.
Didn't he give us his all?
Yes, sir.
Wasn't he serious about reaching us? Wasn't he serious enough? He sent his only begotten Son to the world to reach a lost world with the gospel to save us from our sins?
Amen.
Does not he deserve our purpose of heart? Does not he deserve us getting serious about him? And not just going through life on autopilot, but saying, you know, I want to go on. Here's where my heart is. If the Lord so helps me this year, I want to go on with God this year. But that's not going to happen on accident. I'm going to have to direct, to point my direction at a specific goal.
Yes, sir.
And intentionally head that way, because this life, our flesh, everything in this world is geared to war against the Spirit.
Right.
To war against the Christian. The Christian life has never been proclaimed to be easy from the Word of God.
Amen.
But it is able to happen because God gives us the power to do so.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Us taking Christianity, us taking following Christ serious will determine life and death for many others.
Right.
Yes.
If you decide not to get serious with God, then only God knows the people you won't reach. Knows that you'll never have an impact on that it may have been your responsibility to reach. And you may get to the judgment seat of Christ with blood on your hands. Just think the majority, and I'm not speaking just of this church, I'm speaking of the church as a whole. Majority of people in church simply play.
You're right. You're right.
Church is a social club to them, a religious function.
Yes, sir.
But they're not really serious about God.
Right.
Oh, it makes them feel good to come for a Sunday morning or a Sunday night. But that's all it does. It makes them look good to some of the other peoples in our society here where we still have somewhat of a religious society here in Tennessee. And other, oh yeah, they're good church-going people, this and that. I work with a lot of them. And quite frankly, I'm convinced most of them aren't saved.
Right.
There's no fruit.
Yes, sir.
no fruit whatsoever. They'll cuss like everybody else. They'll talk about what everybody else wants to talk. And then Sunday, they just get to be different. They're not serious. They're playing games with God. And listen, if there ever was a time to play games with God, it is not now.
Amen.
You cannot look at world events without seeing end times prophecy in these world events. Christ's coming is just around the corner.
Amen.
I can't say when he's coming, but I don't think we've got time left. Now's not a time to be playing games.
Right.
Now it's time to get serious. And if we don't get serious now, then when? You know, one of Satan's probably best tactics to use against a Christian is simply procrastination.
Yes.
It's not that we didn't want to go do it, we just didn't want to do it now. And so we put off what we know we're supposed to do. We put off that obedience. We put off that next step and say, just not now. And sometimes that's the difference in somebody making it for God and somebody living a defeated Christian life. Many times that's the difference between a sinner getting into heaven. Simply because God was dealing with them and they would sit in a pew and say, not now, not now. What do people think? Or what this or what that? And they'll procrastinate. They'll put off God's dealing in their heart. Walk out of those church doors, maybe to never be convicted again.
Right, sir.
And die and go to hell because they rejected God. But they had every intention of doing it someday. I'm not preaching to sinners so much this evening. I'm preaching to Christians, to believers. When are we going to choose to be serious? When are we going to choose to be real? Is not that what a Christian should be? Is not that if our world needs real Christians today? They are looking for something real. They are searching for something real. And so many are looking at so-called Christians and saying, if that's what Christianity is, we don't want anything to do with it.
Right.
And to be honest, I don't blame them.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Because there's nothing different
right.
in so many so-called Christians' lives. I believe this church became first called Christians simply because they chose were not just going to sit by and play games anymore. They came to a point of decision in their life, which is what I want you to be at this evening if the Lord would deal in your heart that way. To come to a point in time in your life where you say, you know what? I'm not playing games any longer. It is time to get serious.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to tell all myself here some things about last year. I spent a lot of time in the Word of God studying last year to fulfill responsibilities. This class, or preaching here, or doing this, or whatever, and it was not wasted time. But I'd be embarrassed if you all saw the lack of time that I spent in a prayer closet. I'd be embarrassed if y'all saw the lack of time I just spent on my personal relationship with God. I really would. I'm ashamed of that. Here's what it's been, and I'm telling myself this is not maybe for everybody, but God was dealing on me for a couple of months to set aside a specific time that will not be interrupted that I spend with God. And I knew what time that was, and it was earlier in the morning. And that's hard on my flesh. Because I knew I'd have to get up, and sometimes I'm not getting to bed at the right time, and I didn't want to do it. I've known for forever, if it's going to happen, that's what I'm going to have to do. You know what I did? I kept on putting it off. And not doing it. Not doing it. Not doing it. I came to this passage, and I realized, you know, if it's going to change, it must happen now.
Yeah.
I cannot afford the spiritual cost of not spending time with Him. But it's not going to happen on accident. I've got to get serious. I've not necessarily held up to every day, but by and large, the Lord has really been helping me to be establishing some different habits in my life so that I can spend some time with Him. And I don't regret it. What I do regret is not doing it sooner. When I knew God was working in my heart, when I knew that's the step I was supposed to take, and I just kept on saying no. If we're going to go on family, every individual. It will only happen when you decide I'm not going to play games anymore. It's time I get serious with God and I take the steps I know I'm supposed to take. Time for a lot of us to make a choice. Time is short. We don't know how much time we got left. If Jesus comes back this year, are you ready? Are you going to be ready? How many regrets are you going to have? How much disobedience in your life where you knew God was saying to do something and you just wouldn't do it again? These people became called Christians because they chose to get serious with God. It happened on purpose. And I say, secondly, they were passionate. That with purpose of heart. We would say they put their heart in. It seems today that you have to prod, we have to be prodded to live right, do right, serve God, read our Bibles, faithfully attend church. Pastor Ryan may as well get a cattle prod out and start shocking us, coming to our house and shocking us just to get us to come to church.
Right.
We might as well start sending out police with a search warrant to find people to get them back in the house of God. Why is it that we have to be prodded? To do what we're supposed to be doing, what we should be doing.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you why. Because our hearts are good. Right. We do what we want to do.
Yes, sir.
Right. That's it. You want to go to the football game? You know what you're going to do? You're going to go find a ticket, buy it, and you'll be there.
Yes, sir.
You want to be in the house of God? So far as you're not truly, actually hindered, you will find a way to get here.
Yes, sir.
God does not want us simply running through the motions. There's no reality in that. That's faith. That's religion. That's what this world is sick and tired of. You see, sinners, young people in the house of God, they can see right through what we do. Most of us aren't as subtle as we think we are. People can truly see where we're at. And they know whether our hearts are there or not. They know whether we're just living a lie. These people not only chose to get serious, but they chose to get real. I'm asking you this evening, would you choose to get real with God? Our problems with our relationships with God are not on God's end. They are on ours. If the church is to go forward, you know who's got to straighten up? Not God.
Right.
Us. We are the ones who get distant from God. We are the ones to be doing the work for God. We, the church, are the ones that are to be taking the work of God here in Newport, for you all, for me in Maryville, Tennessee right now. We are the ones supposed to be moving the work of God forward. And that will not happen until we get serious and real with God.
Amen.
Lastly, they were persistent. I kind of said this, I guess, earlier. They were consistent and persistent. Living the Christian life doesn't necessarily happen overnight. Man, Riley, I can choose to start doing what I knew I was supposed to do and getting up what I was supposed to do, reading and praying and those things. You know, 2 weeks is not going to make me a spiritual guy. 50 years probably won't I ever be honest. We don't arrive. We never come to a place where we arrive. But we are to be mature Christians. We are to be obedient. If you want to be known as a Christian, then you're going to have to start living like it. And it takes a while to build a good testimony. We build a bad testimony overnight. One action probably ruined for life many times. You want to build a good testimony, a good report to the unsaved people you're around? Christian, you're going to have to be consistent.
Yes, sir.
Consistently serious, consistently real with God. When we say this, they'll never give you the time of day. They will not listen to what you have to say. Not to brag on myself, but there are coworkers that now, after six some years of me being where I'm at, they actually will come ask me questions, and they will listen to me say some pretty direct things. And they would have never listened to me the first time I came here. I think the same person, a little older. They never listened to me at first. They didn't know who I was. They didn't know anything about me.
Right.
Now they've gotten to know me a little bit. Now I'm not out there running around drinking like everybody else and talking about all the filthy women and this and that and everything else they want to talk about. That's not me. When they see now, there is a difference, and it's not because of me, it's because of God in my heart.
Yes, sir.
We're not going to live the Christian life being in and out, up and down, on a spiritual high, oh, the Bible's over, now I'm back in the dumps. Emotions will come and go.
Right.
But God did not ask us to live the Christian life based on our emotions. You're waiting to feel like doing it. It's never going to happen. The flesh does not want to do the work of God. The flesh does not want to submit to the Word of God. It will fight you tooth and nail. It will not let you just do it easily.
Right.
That's why we've got to choose to live based on the Word of God and our obedience to that. Our conviction and obedience should not be coming and going in the Christian life. See, faithfulness is the mark of a Christian's life. And he will be consistent.
Amen.
I'm almost finished here. In closing, I see Barnabas exhorted. The word exhorted means to call or to urge. That word has been translated in a few other places as to beseech. Here in this text, it doesn't seem that Barnabas had to go start pulling on legs to get and pulling teeth to get them to actually do what they needed to do. They were willing to do it. They were excited to do it. Sadly, today it seems we've got to beg people to even think about taking God seriously. It's as if we're asking them to like you're asking them for all their kids the moment you ask them to spend their life serving God. It's our reasonable sacrifice, Paul.
Yes, sir.
It's reasonable. We owe him everything. What know you not that you are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your spirit and your body, which are his. They were called Christians first in Antioch. They were surrounded by wickedness and paganism. Isn't that where we're at today? We're surrounded by religion, wickedness, and paganism, and not a whole lot of reality anywhere. This nation is becoming exceedingly wicked. We killed so many millions of babies. Now we're popularizing the whole transgender lifestyle, which the Bible is very clear on. It's sin. It's wrong. Man, now everybody wants to justify social drinking. 50 years ago, that was wrong.
Amen.
God's word didn't change people. We did.
Yes,
we're the ones who backed off. We're the ones who decided, man, we're not going to be serious with God anymore. You know what the problem is? Why we're not maybe seeing people come to God? It's not so much that they're still sinners. They've always been sinners. That's not changed. I'll tell you who's changed. God's people have not been serious with God. We've lost our burden. We don't care anymore. We want to live our life, get what we want out of life, have all these material things, get an amazing net worth, and man, that's what life's about. No, it is not.
Right.
The only thing worth living for in this life is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if I die with pennies to my name, I will be satisfied customer of Jesus Christ because he is everything to me. He is worthy of my entire life.
Amen.
I'm convinced as convinced can be that I could go and make a lot of money in this world. I know I can. I have turned down so outside work. I probably could start my own business if I really wanted to. But here's what I realized. If I do that, I would have to give up my spiritual life. I'd have to give up a lot of the ministry that I'm involved in order to achieve that goal.
Yes, sir.
Why in the world would I want to give up on God?
Amen.
Man, we're going to put our treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt.
Right.
Where thieves don't break through and steal. You know what that passage also says? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Some of us, it's time for us. You want to know how to get your heart in the things of God? Put your treasure in the house of God. Make the house of God what's important to you. It'll change everything. You know what would happen if I started putting a lot of money in the stock market? Probably where my heart would be. And I'm not talking only about money. I'm not saying that's wrong in this place. But what I am saying is that we've got people more concerned about their financial net worth, the assets that they have, the life that they want to live, the vacations they want to take, and people are dying and going to hell.
Yes, sir.
And we wouldn't spit on them if we saw them.
Right.
We don't care.
Right.
We're not concerned. Some Christians do. It's not rocket science. It's pretty simple. It's just not easy on the flesh. Listen, the greater the darkness in this world, the more opportunity we have to shine the light of Christ.
Yes.
This world's a dark place. It's getting darker by the moment. Praise God. That means there's more opportunity for us. Let's get real. Let's get serious.
Amen.
Let's quit playing games. People out there need us. They may not accept the gospel. They don't want the gospel. But God wanted us to give it to them.
Yes.
And there are those that will respond. There are those that are searching. There are those. I had a man very recently tell me. He said, it's like on the inside of me, my soul and my body need me clean on the inside. This man, he has tried to change, flip over a new leaf. He's quit his alcohol, and he's finding out he's still as empty as he ever was because he doesn't have Christ in his heart. He's searching. And he's struggling to find. There's people out there like that.
Yes, sir.
And they need to see somebody do it.
Amen.
If they can do it in Antioch, we have no excuse. We live in so much more freedom than they ever had. We don't have an excuse. We don't. You know what the difference between a believer and a Christian is? It's the purpose of life. The believer, not the Christian, lives for himself. Christian lives for God. That's the goal. That's the priority. That's what we're about. That's the lifestyle. And I used to think it may be a little unreasonable. I don't have anything against colonies and this and that. But it seemed unreasonable to me to have to give so much of my time to the church, to ministries, and this and that. God's really changed my thinking on that in the past year. My time's not mine.
Right.
It's His.
Yes.
And He deserves every bit of it. He bought me with a price.
Yes.
He bought me with everything I've got. So does every Christian. You know what I'd like to challenge you to do this evening? I don't know if y'all typically have altar call or whatever on Sunday evening, but it's my manner when I preach. That's what I do. So we'll have an altar call. This is what I'd like to challenge you to do. Now, I hope I haven't sounded mean or attacking this evening. I hope you understand.
I want to be real, and I need this as much as everybody else. I want us to take steps forward for God this year, not to be able to look back and say, man, I grew some. I'm going to do that, you know. I don't want to look back with regrets. Would you purpose in your heart by God's grace to be serious with Him from now on? I'm asking you to do that. Come down to the altar and purpose in your heart, Lord, I'm not being as serious as I should be. Now's the time. I choose now to be serious. And then take the steps and do it. Don't walk out the doors and forget it. But do it. Would you be willing to commit to God that you're going to give Him your very best and your all this year? Would you be willing to choose this evening to chart the course for the rest of your life and make it all about Him and not about yourself? That's what God wants. That's what a Christian is. Anybody else is simply playing games. I'm challenging you all this evening. And if we could have a fiddle player come, we're heading down the road. I'm challenging you this evening. Please, would you choose to be a Christian, not in name only, but in lifestyle? Choose today. Now's the time. There's no time to play games anymore, but you choose now. Every head bowed and eye closed. The altar's open.